All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, The Hidden Treasure of the Sweet Absolute, the second English edition. Published from Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Math, Navadeep. The founder president acharya is Srila Bhakti Rokkakshidhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, and the Saivite president acharya and successor is Srimad Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. The translations into English in this book are made by Sripad Swarupananda Prabhu. Chapter 1. Sainya Darshan, Observing the Armies. Dhritarashtra said, "O Sanjaya, what happened when my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled for battle at the holy place of Kurukshetra?" Sanjaya said, "Seeing the Pandavas, soldiers and armies arrayed for battle, King Duryodhana approached Dronacharya and said, 'O my teacher, please observe the great armies of the Pandavas arranged in military formation by your brilliant disciple Drishtadyumna. Among these soldiers are the expert archers Bhima, Arjuna and others equally skilled in battle, like Satyaki, King Virata, the great fighter Drupada, Drishtaketu, Chekitana, the mighty hero Kashiraj, Purujit, Kuntibhoja, the noble king Shaibya, the valiant Yudhamanyu, the heroic Uttamauja, Abhimanyu, and the sons of Draupadi. They are all great warriors indeed. O best of the twice-born, please consider too the foremost amongst us, the commanders of my armies. I submit their names before you. Firstly, there is your respected self, then Bhishma, Karna, the ever-victorious Kripacharya, Ashvatthama, Vikarna, Bhurishrava, Jayadratha, and many other heroes skilled in the art of warfare, all armed with various weapons and prepared to lay down their very lives for me. The strength of our army headed by Bhishma seems inestimable, yet the strength of the Pandavas' army, protected by Bhima, is estimable. Now take up your posts at the strategic points of the formation in support of Bhishma." Then, with a war cry like the roar of a lion, the venerable elder Bhishma loudly blew his conch shell to encourage Duryodhan. At once there arose a tumultuous vibration of conch shells, kettle drums, hand drums, bugles, and the resounding of many instruments. Then Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, in a magnificent chariot drawn by white horses, blew their divine conch shells. Rishikesh blew his conch shell, Panchajanya. Dhananjaya sounded his, the Devadatta. And Bhimshen, the performer of mighty tasks, blew the conch shell, Paundra. King Yudhishthir, the son of Kunti, blew the Ananta Vijay, while Nakula and Sahadev blew the conch shells, Sughosha and Manipushpaka. O Lord of the Earth, the skilled archer Kashiraj, the great warrior Shikhandi, Drishtadyumna, King Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki, King Drupada, the sons of Draupadi, and the mighty son of Subhadra, Abhimanyu, all blew their conch shells. Resounding throughout the land and heavens, the tremendous vibration of those conch shells pierced the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. O King, as the battle was about to commence, Arjuna, whose chariot was adorned with the flag of Hanuman, seeing Duryodhana and his army poised for battle, took up his bow and said to Sri Krishna, "O Krishna, please place my chariot between the two armies, so I may observe the warriors with whom I must contend on this battlefield, and who have come to fight for the satisfaction of the wicked Duryodhan." Sanjaya said, "O descendant of Bharat, After the vigilant Arjuna spoke these words, Sri Krishna, the Lord of the perceptions of all living beings, drew the grand chariot between both armies, before Bhishma, Drona, and all the chieftains of the earth. The Lord then said, O Pata, behold the Kauravas assembled here for battle. There, within both armies, Arjuna saw paternal and maternal elders, grandfathers, teachers, brothers, sons, grandsons, fathers-in-law, friends, and other well-wishers. Seeing his kinsmen present on the battlefield, Arjuna, the son of Kunti, was grief-stricken and overcome with pity. He said, O Krishna, seeing all these relatives and friends assembled and eager for battle, the strength is draining from my limbs and my mouth feels parched. I am trembling and the hairs on my body are standing on end. My skin is burning and I am losing grip of my Gandiva bow. O Keshava, I cannot maintain my composure any longer. My mind is disturbed and I see bad omens. I do not see any good in killing my kinsmen in this battle. O Krishna, I have no wish for victory or to enjoy a kingdom. O Govinda, if those for whom we desire all this, teachers, paternal and maternal elders, sons, grandfathers, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives, are about to risk their wealth and lives in battle, of what value is our kingdom and its royal pleasures, or even life itself? O Madhusudan, I do not wish to kill them, even though I myself may be killed. O Janardan, even if we gain sovereignty over the three worlds, not to speak of ruling the earth, how can we be happy if we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra? Only sin will befall us if we slay our teachers and guardians, though they be our adversaries. We cannot take the lives of our own relatives, the sons of Dhritarashtra. O Madhava, how can we be happy by killing our kinsmen? Although they, overwhelmed with greed, cannot see the sin of betraying one's friends and destroying the dynasty, O Janardan, how can we not refrain from this heinous act, being in full knowledge of the consequences? With the decline of the dynasty, its religious traditions are lost. When religious practices are lost, irreligion overcomes the entire dynasty. O Krishna, descendant of the Vrishni dynasty, when the dynasty is thus overcome by irreligion, the women of the family become corrupt and adulterated progeny is the result. Adulterated progeny forces both the family and its aggressors into a hellish existence. The same fate befalls their ancestors because regular offerings of food and water to them cease. Such heinous acts by the destroyers of the dynasty are the cause of adulterated progeny, ruining the culture of a civilized society and noble lineage. O Janardan, we have heard that persons whose familial, social and religious traditions are disrupted dwell always in hell. Alas, what a grave sin we have resolved to commit. Driven by greed for trifling royal happiness, we are about to slay our own kinsmen. If unarmed and unresisting, I am killed on this battlefield by the armed sons of Dhritarashtra, that will be more auspicious for me. Sanjaya said, there on the battlefield, speaking these words, Arjuna cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his heart filled with sadness. End of chapter 1. Observing the armies. From the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the yoga scripture of transcendental knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharat, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.